Okay, so we're continuing from earlier this week. Let me just, try to get the basic background that's necessary to go forward. So the question that Adalcha is on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, as you probably know, on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. Okay, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar. And the question is why. So Rabbi Chama in the Gemara, he maintains that it's a deoraisa. It comes from the Torah, and he says, because the Torah says in one place that it is a day of shofar, a day of trua, and the other place it says a remembrance of trua. Okay, mentioning of trua. Mentioning of trua means not to actually blow the shofar, but it means just to enunciate psukim about, okay, verses about the trua, about the shofar. So he says, which one is it? So he says, it means, depends, on Shabbos you enunciate the verses. During the week, you actually blow. During the week, you blow. So that's from the psukim. So he said, the idea is we asked, how could you unify two totally different things? Is it, well, once one mitzvah shofar, how do you unify blowing and the musical sound and saying psukim, learning ideas or psukim? It seems like totally different things. So he said is that the essence of shofar is that there's an idea of yidia, of knowledge. There are ideas which are tied in with shofar. And those ideas are enunciated in the tefillah, and in the prayer we say the psukim, and the psukim bring out concepts, whatever those concepts are, philosophical ideas which shofar embodies. And the essence, even when you blow the shofar, it's not just hearing music, but the mitzvah is that hearing the shofar brings to mind ideas on the part of the person. Halachically, it's a kiyum of yidia in the shofar. It's the fulfillment of in the person of him knowing, it bring to mind ideas. Even though halachically you can't set up that you have to think of something in order to fill the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is designed to bring about ideas. So if that's the case, so there are two forms of the mitzvah. Sometimes those ideas are brought about through actually blowing the music, playing the music, that moves the person in a way that brings him to ideas. And other times on Shabbos, it's fulfilled not through blowing it, but through actually enunciating the ideas themselves verbally. Okay, and there are two forms of the same idea of bringing about the ideas of the shofar in the person in two different manners. Okay, one is during the week, and one's on Shabbos. That was Rabbi Chama held. We don't hold this though, because the Gemara, Rava asked, and this is what we're up to. Rava asked on him. He says, "But hold on a second. How do you draw this distinction between Shabbos and during the week? It's very nice you want to have two forms, but the mitzvah of shofar. See, the mitzvah of shofar is blowing the shofar. Blowing the shofar is not a malacha. Malacha is the 39 categories of work that are on Shabbos." It's not, blowing shofar is not one of those. There's nothing wrong with blowing shofar on Shabbos. So, vis-a-vis Shabbos, shofar is just a random activity. So how is it that you say that when they're blowing shofar on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, but we say psukim. And we say the verses. But why? What's different from the best Shabbos and during the week? Just like it wouldn't make any sense to say on Tuesdays, when Shabbos on Tuesdays, then you say psukim instead of blowing shofar. Because why on Tuesdays? What's the difference between Tuesdays and Wednesdays and any other day vis-a-vis blowing shofar? Similarly, what's the difference between Shabbos and any other day vis-a-vis blowing shofar? Okay, because, as we'll get into more detail, but there's blowing shofar on Shabbos is not a malacha. So therefore, that's Rabbi Chama's, that's Rava's question on Rabbi Chama, and because that he rejects him, and says that from according to the Torah, really, you always have to blow a shofar, even on Shabbos. And the only reason we don't do it is because it's a gezerah that maybe people will come to carry the shofar on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. So it's a protection. It's a fence set up by the Rabban. But our job is going to be looking into the question which Rava asks on Rabbi Chama and see if we could explain how Rabbi Chama answers that. Okay, that's what we're going to take up today. So let's look at the question a little more carefully. Again, in order to prove that it's not a malacha, that shofar is not a malacha, he cites a b'risa. Okay, and the b'risa states, David, we might get a Gemara Shabbos. Okay. So it states that the pasuk says, "Kamalachas avodah lo sasil." You should not do any malacha I guess you call malacha productivity or something. Malacha's avoda is like work of productivity or something to that effect. So bayontif, it says you shouldn't do any malacha's avoda. Any malacha which is like a work. So it says, what is the adding in work, malacha of work? What's it teaching you? So it says it's to exclude blowing the shofar and Rediyas Hapas. Rediyas Hapas is a special, they used to cake, to take a piece of dough and throw them onto the side of the oven. And when they were ready, they'd have a special like way to get them off the side of the oven, to peel them off the oven without ruining the bread. So that was a certain skill which bakers used to be able to do. So the skill of doing Rediyas Hapas, of taking off the bread and the blowing shofar, are excluded from the category of being prohibited on Shabbos because they're not a malacha. So now they're not productivity, rather they're just a chachma, just a skill, like a chachma. Okay, so it says, therefore, then that's what the Torah says, kamalacha savoda lasasu, where the malacha of work you shouldn't do, it's excluding these two things because they're not really malacha. They're really chachma, they're skill. And therefore, shofar is basically nothing, it's not malacha on Shabbos, and therefore, Rabbi's question is, so why is the Torah, what's the difference? Why do you not blow shofar on Shabbos? Why should the Torah exclude Shabbos versus Chol? It's the same thing. Shabbos is the same as any other day vis-a-vis blowing shofar. My question is the whole statement itself, it's funny. I mean, if you're telling me that shofar and this bread thing is not malacha, then you don't need a pasuk to teach me it's not malacha. Of course it's not malacha. It's malacha is 39 categories of productivity. If it's not, either is one of those things, so then why is it mutter? Why is it permitted? Or you'll tell me it's not one of those things. So then it's not one of those things. You don't need a pasuk to come and exclude them. They're altogether not part of the whole framework of malacha. So what's this idea of excluding them from being malacha? What would I have thought? Also, a strange thing is that the pasuk the Gemara quoted, it seems like Gemara is just learning because they're not malacha. So it could have just quoted a pasuk by Shabbos. By Shabbos says, don't do any malacha. L'sasek ha-malacha. Okay? It should have just quoted that. Malacha, but not shofar, because that's not malacha. It's a chacha, it's a skill. But it doesn't. It quotes a pasuk by Yontef. Okay? By Yontef, komach zavoda l'sasek, which is a specifically a reference to Yontef, which is the malacha of work. It's, well, why is it? This is not talking about Yom Tov. It's talking about Shabbos. I mean, it's also Yom Tov, but why is it specifically quoting the pasuk by Yom Tov, where it seems to be unnecessary? It could have just kept it simple. So Tosafot just says you're right. It could have quoted that also, but it just said the one by Yom Tov for whatever reason. Okay, which isn't necessarily a problem. He's just saying that's what it says. Okay, you know what he's saying is really it's learned out from the fact that it says Malacha. Okay, really, it has nothing to do with about this. It says malacha, so malacha means as opposed to these things. But if they're not malacha, then it's altogether strange. I mean, I should say, it's exclude walking down the street. Because that's not a malacha. Of course, it's not malacha. You don't need a separate source to exclude. Say, you're allowed to walk down the street on Shabbos. So, I mean, you could say exclude a million things. Not malacha, it's not malacha. Tosus and Shabbos ask the same question. Why did it quote the pasuk by Yom Tov? It should have quoted the pasuk by Shabbos. So it says, he says, in fact, Rabbeinu Shmuel, he quotes, actually has the other Gersa. His Gemara, he actually has, it quotes the Pasuk by Shabbos. So that's one way to solve the problem. Just, it's a typo, whatever, maybe they printed the wrong Pasuk. It's not, it shouldn't say that Pasuk. But the Rashba says, really, it's really learned that from Avoda. Okay, it is learned that from the other pasuk, Avoda. Okay, but he says Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara says the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is the malacha is ochal nefesh. It's things that you're doing to prepare food. Okay, like you cook on Yom Tov, those types of things. So that's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the limud is teaching you the halacha by Yom Tov. And by Yom Tov, you're allowed to do shofar and the bread. Really, that's teaching you there. And because why? Because it's not malacha, but it's a chachma. But it's a skill. And then, since you know it by Yom Tov, and then you have an equation between Shabbos and Yom Tov, therefore it must be by Shabbos also. So according to him, it really is being learned now from the term avoda. Because malacha alone apparently wouldn't have taught it to you, according to that answer. If you just had malacha, you could have argued that they are part of malacha somehow. But since it's malacha avoda, that's teaching you, you know, work of, or I guess a malacha of labor, or something like that. So that teaches you that it's, teaches you that they're included, that they're not included by Yom Tov, and therefore they're not included by Shabbos either, by equation. Okay, so it's pretty different, the two Tosas. I mean, one of the Tosas by our Tosas saying is you really learn it after the word Malacha itself. Tosas in Shabbos saying you learn it after the word Malacha Shavoda. You need to have all the Well, Shabbos and Yom Tov are equal, except for one thing. So once you can extend it, you can extend it. The only difference is...
Because this doesn't
have any... Doesn't have any to do with the only thing is that you don't have to be allowed to do Ochel Nefesh. There are these things which are necessary for your food, and in Shabbos you're not allowed to. But let's say blowing shofar has nothing to do with that. So if you tell me that it's permitted on Yom Tov, you can't say the reason why you're allowed to blow shofar is because you need it for food. So it must be because it's not malacha, it's not included in the provision, so therefore Shabbos is not
included. Is it qualifying that you can do everything but
also that may also be the case, but here, although this qualifies, it's telling you that you're allowed to do the yesabas and blowing shofar. So it's saying here, and it's saying is that, it might be from the word of Oda, but it's telling you that, so that there's nothing to do with eating. So those are just telling you why is it permitted, because it just doesn't have this not malacha, or whatever. What? Why do you have to exclude them? Yeah, the question is still the same. It's even worse.
Yeah.
Because according to them, if you just had malacha, then you see they would have actually been, they would have been included. Right? If you only had one pasuk,
it
implies more that they really are in the framework of malacha. So, yeah. I mean, where at first sight it would seem like the Gemara is just saying, it, oh yeah, shofar and whatever, have nothing to do with malacha. You see, it's not so simple. According to one Gemara, really, it would have been in Malacha. It just, there was some coming excluding it by Yom Tov and then extends to Shabbos. So the question basically is, I mean, I think before we get into explaining how Rabbi Chama is going to answer why it is that the Torah differentiates between Shabbos and during the week vis-a-vis blowing shofar, I think we have to just get into this whole deal with what is the status of these things. Are they malacha? Are they not malacha? Do they resemble malacha? In what way do they resemble halacha? What's their halachic status? I mean, I think until we get into some explanation of them, I don't think we're ready to tackle the Gemara. Okay? Okay, something like this is that, that you have... So malacha involves two things. Okay. Malacha involves two things, one of which is in shofar and the other of which is not in shofar. Okay? Two things are, is that malacha is where a person, so to speak, I'd say manipulates the forces of nature. Okay? Or he uses his chachma, uses his skill, studies the forces of nature or whatever it is, and manipulates those forces towards his benefit. Right? That's part of what's like malachas. In fact, they call it malachas machshavas asra Torah. The Torah prohibited a malacha of thought. And that's the idea of human productivity is intelligence. I mean, animals don't really do malacha. You know, like part of you man's malacha is he works out methods of bringing about all different types of, bringing about all kinds of things through his intelligence and manipulating the force of nature in order to be able to do it, bring about whatever goal it is that he wants to bring about. He cooks, he bakes, you know, he plows, he do whatever, he plants. You know, all different. What's that? Yeah, all malachas are involved in machshava. Well, carrying is a unique malacha, but I'd say partially carrying is in order to do stuff, he has to get things from place to place. It's part of the productive processes. But malacha happens today. Malacha is a bad example because it's called malacha garua. It's like a diminished malacha, so it's lacking in that regard to a certain extent. Okay, so it's all malacha, and that's right. That's why if you're not thinking about something, for instance, it's not malacha. It's specifically where you're thinking. You know, so that's what malacha is. But malacha, that's one part of malacha is chachma, is where you're thinking, figuring out a way to use nature to bring it to help you out, okay, to use the force of nature. But I'd say it's not just to help you out, is to help you out in bringing in creating a product. Okay, that's the second aspect of Malacha, is that you're not just using the forces of nature to make funny noises, but you're using the forces of nature to create something. Okay, it's productivity. Okay, so if you just randomly use the forces of nature in funny ways, no, that's not Malacha. Okay, that is Chachma, it is the aspect of Chachma, but you're not, for what? What are you doing? What are you accomplishing? So the idea of Malacha is you're using the forces of nature, subordinate the forces of nature, in order to bring about a certain product. Okay?
Are you saying idea of, like, has to be like,
yeah, I guess we'll say that.
Well,
what? But that's not a product.
Why not? What do you mean by product?
An object, a physical object, something which is of benefit. You're creating something. You have a product.
This is why, like talking on Shabbos about making plans. You're creating a Saturday night for yourself on Shabbos.
I'm not sure. That's what that might just be, like you're preparing. I think that's a different thing. That's not necessarily malacha. Now, a product I mean is you're actually manipulating the force of nature to create a chafza. There's a chafza. It's a chafza. It's a sound. Isn't a chafza. You're not creating it. Well, that's not a thing. I mean, you may be entertained. But that's not a chafza. Your product means you're creating an object.
So
it's an object.
It's not being mekuyim, because you could write something down with one mekuyim, that's still creating a chafza.
Well, it lacks. I mean, mekuyim is a different thing. Is if it's not mekuyim, it lacks as a product, because it's...
so it's similar.
Similar to that. But what I'm saying is mekuyim is where it's a product, but it's a feature of that product that it's lasting. What I'm saying is that if you're not even creating a product altogether, so it's very nice that you're working out a way to do stuff, but there's no product, there's no object that you're creating. The idea is that you're using the force of nature to create an object. You have something which is raw, you work out heat and an oven and all that, and then you put this raw thing into there, and out comes a ready piece of edible food. Out comes food. So you put in an animal, and you take out food. So you're using the force of nature to create food. Okay?
The idea of the product is tied to the idea of the
chafza. Yes, the chafza. That's what malacha you always have, the chafza you're producing. So like, well, for instance, you take wheat and you grind it and out comes flour. So it's part of the price. So you're using a heavy object and you realize that wheat is crushable and you have a heavy object, you push it over the thing and out comes the product, is wheat. So you're manipulating the forces of nature in a way that out comes the product. That's the purpose. So the manipulating the forces of nature isn't for its own sake, because you like doing smart things, but it brings about a product. So you call malacha productivity. So you mean productivity.
So these two, Tishofar and Moses, are indicative of those two categories.
Which two?
Of
Oh, no, I'm saying they're indicative of... So what I'm saying is that Tkir Shofar and Radias Apas, you could have thought they're malacha, because they partake of chachma. They partake of the first aspect of malacha is chachma, is that you are using your intelligence to manipulate the forces of nature, and you're doing that. You're working out a way in order to sound properties of a horn, in order to bring about this, to bring about a sound. And if you don't use your chachma right and you don't do it properly, you're not going to be able to do the sound. And it's just possible to know exactly what goes on in the thing, but you have to figure out the heat properties of the bread and the angle of the knife and whatever it is, however exactly you're doing it, in order to get this object separated from the oven. But I mean,
it seems like fire is possible. You do have those two properties.
The product? I mean, that's a good question. I don't know about Ridas Pas much. But I mean, I'd say is that in Shofar, though, you definitely don't have a product, because there's no chafza. And I'm not sure about Ridas Pas, but it could be Ridas Pas. The bread is already there. You already have the bread. It's just that you're separating it. You know, I mean, you could have said that's a malacha. I don't know. For whatever reason, that's not a malacha. I mean, I don't know. It's only chachma. I'm not sure. I don't know what they did. I don't know how it worked. Could be get it off anyways. Yeah. It could be that's the bread. It's already bread. It's already edible bread. It just happens to be. It's stuck to the wall of the oven. And in order to use the bread, you have to. You know, but I don't know, you could argue that it is, it isn't. Well, I'm just saying that, I mean, it's hard to know because we don't do this thing. And it's not even clear in the Rishonim what exactly they did, when they did it. So, I mean, it's hard to know. Whatever reason, it's just like the finishing step. So it's true you have to use chachma, but it's not a malacha. I mean, this isn't my cheder. I mean, this is what malacha means. I mean, malacha is productivity, that's what malacha is. So I'm saying chachma is an aspect of malacha. Okay, and every chachma is malacha machshava. The term machshava is part of malacha, machshava is thought. So the idea of malacha is is thought. Malacha is a two-part process. Using your chachma in order to bring about a product. So let's say you only have your chachma, but not the product. Is that also asar HaShabbos? Or is the Torah only asar when the chachma is used to bring about a product? So the Torah is saying, Losasa kal malacha. Well, this is a question, but one way is that the malacha itself teaches you that it has to actually bring out the product. Malacha is a reference to the work, which is the productivity. Okay. Or according to the other way, I mean, we'll get more into it. But no, malacha itself you could have interpreted as chachma. You could have also thought as malacha, but it's malacha is avoda. It's teaching you it's like a productive malacha. It's not just where you're using the chachma, but avoda implies that it's like you're working to produce something. Okay, I mean that's the details of which way you go. But either way, it's teaching you however it is, the Torah is teaching you that malacha has two components, without both of which the Torah did not prohibit it. So if you only have the first aspect of malacha, it is partaking of avoda and of malacha, and you may have thought the Torah even prohibited that component, but it's teaching you no, the Torah did not do that. But of course, it's not going to tell you the Torah didn't prohibit walking down the street, because walking down the street is nothing. It has nothing to do with the malacha. So you don't need to teach me that that's excluded. But this you do need to teach me. It partakes of one of the components of malacha. And the Torah has to tell you that it's not a... No, that's not true. The other mentioned point is that if you have the opposite, let's say you have a product without the machshava, you also wouldn't be, you'll be over. That's, for instance, you have, let's say, shinoi. Shinoi is an example that has that. If you do it with your left hand or something. So, it's related to that, which is shinoi, if you do something left-handed or in some abnormal manner, so that lacks in the real, in the chachmadic way of doing something. There's an efficient way to do something. And if you do something in an inefficient way, it lacks in the chachma of the malacha. So. Yeah. So if you do a shinoi, it lacks in the chachma of the thing. You just do it in some haphazard way. So you bring about the result, but you didn't use your mind to figure out the efficiency. A part of malacha is efficiency, manipulating the forces with intelligence. You can bring something about in a very inefficient manner, so that lacks in the chachma aspect of it. In general, that's the principle, is if you do things inefficiently, it's malachas machshavas asra Torah. Torah prohibited doing things with...
Why is it inefficient if you cannot...
That's not chachma. That's not the chachma way. That's not human productivity. If you have a guy who could produce things, right? Exactly. It's part of human productivity. You know, the productive person is a person who could do something. Not just they could bring about products, but he could do it with speed, efficiency. If you do something with an efficient manner, you may have something to show for it, but it'll take you forever. It's not really productive. So it's. That's showing in the structure of malacha itself. If it's not done intelligently, if it's not done with chachma, then it's in achayev. There are other examples also. I forgot there's other cases where you have to do it with. If you do it without knowing or without thinking about it, that's also true. But right, like you do something by accident. And there's other. It's a little more complicated. Doroshen Muskabe. That's not really more. Lacks in malacha. Because you're not involved in trying to do it even, you're not thinking about it. Like you slip on a light, right? Right, pack-handedly. That's masasik, right. Yeah, but it's definitely, I can't think of all the different instances now, but it's a principle in general in malacha, that it has to be chachma. As we bring, you're using your chachma to bring something about. If it's not done, if it's not done with machshava, and that lacks in malacha. It's like, there's another example of that. It's like, this is an interesting idea. It's somewhat of a digression, but let's say, for instance, something called winnowing. Zorah. Zorah is, you take this, you have like the wheat, the chaff together with the wheat, and you throw it up in the air, and the wheat is heavier than the chaff, so the wind blows the chaff out of the way, the garbage, and the wheat comes down. This is the manner in which you separate out the wheat. So the Gemara says that if you throw up wheat and the wind comes and blows it and damages somebody, so he says you're pater, because you're just the cause. Damage, you have to be doing an action, a direct action of damaging somebody. So that's not direct because the wind is doing it. The wind is blowing the thing away and damaging the guy. You're just the cause. You're a grama. The cause in Nazik is Potter. But he says by Shabbos, he says you're chayev. Right? Why don't you say you're a cause? But he says no, because malachas machshavas lasu Torah, which means that a malacha is a human being using the forces of nature. So what are you going to say? That's a cause. That is how you do. That is human productivity. That you use the wind.
The manipulating
force of nature. So the most productive guy is a guy who doesn't have to do that much. Right? A guy who could design a tool that will allow him to, with a little lever or whatever, to move something, as opposed to a guy who's a big, strong. You know, that's human productivity is not the caveman. This big, strong caveman is the guy who manages to work out a good, clever way to manipulate the force of nature to bring about his goal. That is what malacha is, machshava. Okay, man is able to do it. Tools, if you think about tools, they're an unbelievable idea. Tools, and man... Yeah, right, it's so true. Exactly, right. Light switches, exactly, right. Or tools, I mean, you just think about all different tools, pliers, and a screwdriver, and a hammer, and I mean, what you could accomplish with tools that you wouldn't be able to accomplish without tools. If you just deal with, like, a brute man, caveman, you try to smash things open. I mean, just how are you going to do that? But a hammer is like perfectly designed that it's long and has the lever and it's sharp, whatever. The whole way is every single tool is designed. Pliers. If you don't have a pliers, there's something you just can't do. You know, you just can't do. What are you going to do? How is the caveman going to do that? But pliers are a simple thing. It's not very complicated. It's a lever, whatever. All the different laws of engineering, which is bringing these things about. But man thought through how could you manipulate the force of nature. Animals can't do these types of things. Man has the ability to accomplish. I'm just talking about simple tools. I'm not talking about electricity and all kinds of modern technology, and you know. But that's malacha. Man is the creature who has managed to. He has chachma, and with chachma, you can be much more productive. Animals don't build cities, and they build a nest or whatever, but they're not building cities. And man has the ability to, do that. That's part of malacha. So it's using his chachma. That's a big part of. But chachma to produce a product. Again, it's not just the guy who could use his chachma to figure out a good way to get to make it good in the sound, or maybe to get a ball in a hoop, or whatever, whatever the case could be. So that's what it's excluding. But you may have thought it is, because that is part of the human, the gavra of malacha is that he's using his mind in manipulating the force of nature. But it has a tachlis, a goal. The goal is productivity. And without that goal, it's in Torah and productivity. Okay? So now let's see. Let's turn towards our discussion. So Rava's question on Rabbi Chama is that since bottom line, it turns out that blowing shofar is not malacha because there's no product. So what sense does it make to say that on Shabbos the Torah said that you don't blow shofar, but you just say pesukim? What's the difference between Shabbos and a weekday vis-a-vis shofar? Because shofar is not a malacha. So it's an arbitrary distinction. There's no such thing as shofar vis-a-vis Shabbos. It doesn't even register. It's not a malacha. Right? It's not a malacha. So how does the Torah draw a line and say, on Shabbos, you can't blow shofar. And during the week, you could blow shofar. I mean, you can say on Tuesday, you can't blow shofar. There's no relationship between Tuesday and shofar. And there's no relationship between Shabbos and shofar. So even if you had a good reason why the Torah wants to make a distinction, philosophically, but halachically, Shabbos and shofar just don't match up. So it doesn't; they're not on the same playing field. So how could you set up a distinction like that?
Are you moving in direction?
See, the question is, oops, wrong button. Okay, so maybe the question is like this, is that when you say, maybe it's a little loose, maybe we can make it a little better, but that when you say that, Machlokes is like this, is that when you say that the Torah is telling you that you're allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos, is it saying that the chachma without malacha, right, I'm just calling it, the chachma without malacha is simply nothing on Shabbos? It's basically the same thing as walking down the street. Totally not registered, not recognized at all. Nothing at all to do with malacha. You may have thought that has something to do with malacha, and the Torah that comes under the category of malacha. But it's telling you, no, it's not true. That really, malacha is where you're producing through using chachma. But chachma alone, like, what it's teaching you is that malacha is essentially its productivity. And even though using your chachma without a product is simply nothing. It's not. It resembles malacha, but it's telling you that's because you're looking at malacha wrong. If you look at malacha as being using chachma and using it in a certain way, then you'll say, well, this is also using chachma. But it's telling you, no, really the essence of malacha is productivity, and chachma alone is simply nothing. It's not even in the ballpark of Shabbos. It doesn't register on Shabbos. It's just that it partakes of an accidental feature that malacha is productivity of a certain type, and it has that property of using chachma, but essentially it's an undo with malacha. Okay? Or do you say no? Is that really malacha is really two things? Malacha really is using your chachma. Essentially, really malacha is where you're using and manipulating the force of nature. But the Torah only prohibited that type, that chachma, when you're using it for a certain goal. That's when you use it for bringing about the product. But it's when if you're just using your chachma, you are partaking of malacha, but the Torah didn't answer that. It's like it's a component of a malacha which the Torah did not prohibit. Okay, but it's so to speak, you could say it's not in line with Shabbos or something like that. It's just the Torah didn't prohibit it. It's not shot that it's nothing. It's just that it is something. It's a type of malacha, so to speak, which the Torah didn't prohibit. Okay, it partakes of malacha. And if it takes the essence of malacha, but if malacha is missing the second component, then the Torah didn't prohibit it. Versus saying that no, that malacha is productivity, and if you have chachma without productivity, then it's zilch. It has nothing to do with malacha. Okay? Those two different ways. Follow so far? Okay. So if you say that it's zilch, has zero, nothing to do with malacha. Malacha is productivity, and this is not productivity, it's nothing. So then Rav is saying is that how could the Torah differentiate blowing shofar on Shabbos and Achol? Blowing shofar is like walking down the street. There's no such thing as walking down the street on Shabbos or walking down the street during the week. It's the same exact thing. It doesn't register. But if you're telling me that shofar really is a malacha lacking the component which prohibits it, but it really, at its core, it really is malacha. To partake it is the underlying platform of malacha. It just lacks that feature which the Torah prohibits, but it does partake of malacha. So then, even though the Torah didn't prohibit it, it does have a halachic reality vis-a-vis Shabbos. That it's that which the Torah prohibited when it has a feature of malacha, when it has a feature of productivity. So the saying is, so the Torah could say, this activity of shofar, which although the Torah didn't prohibit it, on Shabbos you don't do that form. You don't do the chachma of tkiyah shofar, but on Shabbos the Torah chose that the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar will be done through zichron shofar, through ideas. Not because if you did it you'd violate Esar Shabbos, because you're not violating Esar Shabbos, but it's... Yeah, since it registers, it was really, remember how we came yesterday, is that the Torah wants to set up two forms of the mitzvah. Okay? It wants to set up two forms of the mitzvah. But you can't set it up. You can't just arbitrarily say on Tuesdays it's going to be this form, and Wednesdays it's going to be that form, and there's no Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't register. Shofar is no different than two. But once you say that shofar on Shabbos is different than shofar during the week, what's the difference? Because shofar on Shabbos is you're involved in the chachma aspect of malacha. Okay? Is it also? No, it's not also. But you are doing that. You're involved. It registers. It's a different shofar. It's a shofar which is not quite in line with Yom HaShabbos. Torah prohibited? No. But is you're involving yourself in manipulating the force of nature, which is the category which the Torah prohibited when it's done in a certain full manner. So the Torah said that on Shabbos, don't do that. Don't do shofar through that. But do shofar through the ideas themselves. Don't be involved in shofar through the laws of the force of nature, but be involved in shofar through the ideas themselves. During the week you're involved in shofar, through the week you do malacha, you do chachma, you do all this stuff. So do the shofar through the manipulating the force of nature, creating the kol shofar. Fine, that's the way you do it during the week. But on Shabbos, it says don't do the malacha form of shofar. But do the psukim, be involved directly in the ideas of the shofar. You know what I mean? But Rava holds that it's not malacha altogether. It has nothing to do with malacha. The Torah, the limud from Los Altica Malacha, is telling you it has nothing to do with malacha. So it's basically nothing. nothing on Shabbos. There's no difference on Shabbos or on Tuesday. There's nothing. So he says, so how does the Torah then differentiate it? There's no room to differentiate between Shabbos and Chol. It's just a regular, it's like any other activity. So you couldn't have such a distinction. You couldn't have such a distinction. Perhaps a little in line with the philosophy we were talking about. I mean, I'm almost saying it already, but again, this is more on the speculative side, but I think it's good, is that if we're saying is that the Torah wants to have two forms of the mitzvah of shofar, whereas in order to illustrate that the essence of shofar is the ideas, and is not the physical sound, and the physical sound is really just to bring you to the ideas, so it's setting up one form of this physical sound, and the other form is where you're just involved in the ideas, the best time to emphasize the ideational component of the thing is the Yom HaShavuos, which is a day which is removed from the involvement in the physical force of nature and involved a day where you're thinking about ideas. It's in line with the two distinction between Shabbos and Chol. It's in line with that. But you can only say that, and that's a philosophy. That's why the Torah, if you take this philosophy, you want to set these two things up, you still have, so then it makes sense that you'd want to split it between Shabbos and Chol. And Rava understands that also. That's a very nice philosophy. But Rava's saying is, but bottom line, halachically, shofar is not malacha. And the bottom line is halachically, shofar is zero. It has nothing to do with malacha. So that's the price. It has nothing to do with malacha. So shofar and Shabbos have zero to do with one another. It's a chachma, it's nothing to do with malacha. So it's a very nice philosophy, but halachically, it can't set itself up. But Rabbi Chama's point is, no, that's not the proper way to interpret the thing. Probably the interpret the thing is Yetzirah Shofar is Chachma Islam Malacha. It's Malacha, but it's lacking the component which answers it. But it does register, and therefore that the philosophical thing could find itself halachically. It's a fine halachic structure. You know what I mean? So it enhances that. I mean, I was saying, even without the philosophical point, it's halachically it's a distinction, but it's in line with the way we were learning. It's very good. Now, just give me 1 second here. I mean, it could be, it turns out, I mean, we're going to get into this perhaps later, but it turns out the simple way to learn, it's not so clear, but there is a derabbanan against doing Rediyas Abbas and against doing Shofar.
Why?
So that's a good question. It's a little bit mysterious. Why?
Not Mishum Havara?
Havara? No, yes. Anyways, nothing to do with the mitzvah, even just not. If you want to blow Shofar this Shabbos, it's an issue derabbanan.
I mean, it's the other reason.
There could be other reasons. Could be other reasons, but it seems that there are many who say that the reason is because it's a chachma. And there's a darbanan against chachma. Okay? There's a darbanan against doing chachma. Okay? No. This kind of chachma. The chachma of manipulating the force of nature. This idea of chachma. Which is, I would say, on the surface, in line with Rabbi Chama's idea. Which is a little bit of a problem, because we don't pass like Rabbi Chama. But we'll get to this. But see, if you say that chachma, like we're saying for Rabbi Chama, that really chachma partakes of malacha, it just doesn't have the full-blown thing, the Torah didn't prohibit it, but you say the Rabbanan did prohibit it. The Rabbanan said that if you have one aspect of malacha and not the other one, it's domed malacha, it partakes of malacha, and the Rabbanan extended the Rabbanan prohibited it also. But if you say that it has absolutely nothing to do with malacha, so then why are you prohibiting the thing?
Exactly, because.
Okay, good. So you could say it's like this, is that there's two kinds. Rambam has two classes of shvas, two derabanans, and then shvas. What are the gezeros on Shabbos? He says there's two things. There are things which are similar to malacha, and there are things which will come to doing malacha. A person will lead a person to doing malacha. Doma malacha or shema yavolidei malacha. The Rambam has that. I think it's in Chaf Aleph, I think, in Hilchos Shabbos. But it's good. It could learn, according to Rechama, you'll learn it's asar because it's doma malacha. Similar to malacha. Why is it similar? Because it partakes of one aspect of malacha. According to Rava, it's not similar to malacha at all. It objectively, has nothing to do with malacha. It partakes of something accidentally which is related to malacha, not halachically recognized, but a person who doesn't understand the idea of malacha may confuse them. So if you allow a person to do this, Shema Yavo, he may come to do malacha. So he would have to interpret it that way. You know what I mean? That it's like because it will lead a person, and a person's mind it would. See, doma means it really is similar. So it really is similar according to the way we're saying for Rabbi Chama, that makes sense. It's really similar, but it takes one aspect. But according to Rava, you'd have to say it's not really similar, it's just a person may get confused, or Shema Yava. So I mean, it could be. We're going to have to get into these things a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how to explain this, but it could be the question is between these two Tosas and Mar, is how do you exclude this, these chachmas? You exclude it from the term halacha itself? Malacha already include both of these components and it tells you that it has to be productive? Or malacha itself really could have just meant for the nature thing, and you need avoda to come and exclude to tell you that it has to be where you're actually being productive. Like where is the term malacha already could lose productivity, or it's only in malacha itself really would have meant that, and it's not for avoda, I'm just telling you that the chachma has to be productive that it's being learned now. And I don't know how to go further in that, but the semantics, it's like, what is it getting it from? You know, is it getting it from the avoda, and then you just have to carry it over to Shabbos, or is it the malacha itself already has that connotation? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems that's where the question lies. You know, okay. So what we should do next, I guess, is there's an interesting tosis here, Rabbi Safas, Rabbeinu Chananel. Funny sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel. You can look at it. It's actually Rabbeinu Chananel is in Shabbos. We did it last year, 2 years ago, when we did the Safan Hotza. That was last year, I think, right? That was
last year.
Yeah, so it's the Rabbeinu Chananel there. You can look at there. He quotes it and he has some questions on it. And it brings up this thing of the Darabanan. The Darabanan. It's the Chav Tessman Beis, Tosos Rabbi Yosefas. Yeah. So it's a Rabbi, if you put it on the oven.
Rabbi, that's there.
Yeah, so there's Rabbeinu Chananel on that Gemara, yeah. Yeah, Rabbi.
What is it?
So, Rabbi. It's a Gemara. I think it's a Michelano Zandala the Manalaf, I think, in Sonic. So hopefully we'll do that, and then we'll go to Rava. I mean, Rava learned it's a Darabana, and we have to go to that. What's the Darabana on that? Because Rava holds it's really not a Deoraisa. That really Deoraisa you blow shofar on Shabbos. And it's just a Darabana that they said, you know what, don't blow, don't do it, because maybe you'll carry. So we still have yet to do that. So hopefully we'll get to that next week also. Okay?
That'll be after this
Tosis. That'll be after this Tosis. So, yeah, that's why I'm moving on. This Tosis should get us for a day, I think.
Right.
Okay.